We're not Skyping in jail.
Right. All right. Here we go.
Great.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your effervescent host, Chris Spangle. Across from me is the dearly departed Greg Lenz. You'll have to go check out the We Are Libertarians Facebook page. We are recording this on, what's the date? Is it the 8th? It's August 8th, I believe. Yeah, August 8th, 2015. So if you're listening far into the future, Greg was 2 hours late to the podcast today, which is like me not starting the recorder five times. So he apparently, his BlackBerry died and he did not wake up in time. So we were very concerned about his safety.
Very concerned, in fact.
So we thought he was dead. So Tyler Weiss and I created a memorial t-shirt. That you can check out at Weird Libertarians Facebook page.
They're $700 a piece. Yeah. You can send them direct to my PayPal.
Our PayPal is chrisspangle@gmail.com if you want to contribute to Greg's funeral or the Weird Libertarians podcast. Since this is free, we'd like to make money. You can PayPal us and say thanks for all the hard work. On the show, buying his way, like I am the Donald of libertarian podcasting, buying his way onto the show after, what was it, a 40? $40 contribution, I think?
It was significant. Yeah. Very significant.
Jeremiah Morrill joins us for the first time. Jeremiah is... What do you hold the title in the Libertarian Party anymore?
I am the vice chairman of the Henry County Libertarian Party.
All right. Jeremiah has run for a lot of different things. A former Republican bootlicker out in the eastern part of the state. Good friend of mine. You may see him trolling on Facebook every once in a while. And he has, we're going to the Indiana State Fair because when you go to the Indiana State Fair, you have to, it's state law here in Indiana that you have to take a 4-H fair official with you to help you identify the breeds of goats. So I am taking.
Can you just bring an ISIS member?
Yeah. So Amir is not available. So we are going out to the Indiana State Fair. I'm going to watch my buddy Jeff Vibbert and Chick McGee do their podcast out there. Somehow, our podcast invite was skipped over by the Indiana Dairy Association. So we're recording this today. But going to be a fun time. Going to go out and milk a cow. Going to...
Whoa.
And I'm not talking about the animal, Greg.
I know.
We are Libertarian Studios has air conditioning, and I'm not sure that the State Fair
does.
True. So you guys are coming out ahead.
I will tell you, I'm going to feel better about myself. My self-esteem has taken a hit recently, but I'm slimmed down. I'm down another 20 pounds. I'm feeling good. And you know what will make you feel even better? Hanging out at the Dairy Barn out at the Indiana State Fair. So I am like... Tom Selleck at the Indiana State Fair.
It's like going to Walmart late at night on a weekend, except on a way bigger scale.
You don't even need batteries for your scooter. You're fine.
I'm 270, and I am basically like the cover
anorexic.
The cover of Men's Health when I'm out at the Indiana State Fair. So excited. We're going to have a good day, but before we have a good day, we've got to talk about Republicans.
Damn it.
So
we're all former Republicans, so we can't be too harsh.
Exactly right. So I was actually just Jeremiah. Oh, my. Jeremiah is the witness and the only one that will ever see my rally for the troops from 2003. You got to, because I'm ripping DVDs, Family Home Movies, I'm putting them up on my YouTube channel for my family.
For your premium subscribers.
For my premium subscribers. And you... actually got to see the infamous video. How was it?
It was very patriotic, Chris.
Very patriotic.
And it was so brave. my favorite part was the personal introduction of you by Greg Garrison and the big bear hug.
Oh, yeah.
And him calling you a kid with no stripes on your sleeves. It was great.
Right. Here's this lily-livered pussy. No.
We haven't put a draft in yet, but he would dodge it.
I have never actually watched the video. It's about an hour and a half long, so we just kind of skimmed through some of the parts. But very, very patriotic. Very patriotic. You were saluting halfway through.
I stood up, saluted. A little crying. It was. I remember being a Republican.
As soon as I came on and was introduced, I immediately left the room. I was like, I can't watch this. I went and washed dishes. I was just like, ugh, because it's so patriotic.
You were a scumbag for a very long time.
I'll tell you what. Rewatching it and seeing it again, even though the motivation was, well, we need a not necessarily a pro-war rally. We need to support the troops rally. After rewatching it and kind of living through those memories, I feel less ashamed of it because it wasn't too, like, pro-war. It was really, like, pro-troop. But it ended up meaning a lot to a lot of people who were overseas because we filmed it and we sent it over to Hoosier veterans who were serving in 2003 and put a lot of home shots of Indiana at Christmas time and got letters for months after that saying, man, thank you. That was really nice and made me feel at home. And so for that, I'm proud of it. For the jingoism, I have a different point of view than I did 10 years ago. Hell, I'm totally changing my whole life. I have a different point of view about everything that I did 2 months ago. So my life changes and we morph and we are always changing. And that's the beautiful part of life. What never changes is Republicans. They seem incapable of changing. I hate debates. I hate the modern debates. I think they're so pointless. I think they serve no purpose. To have a debate in August of 2015 for an election that's going to happen damn near a year and a half from now, it just seems so silly. And I watched probably three quarters of the major debate. I did not see any of the lesser debate.
The JV debate.
The JV debate. Just did not have time. I couldn't do it. Anything with Rick Santorum, it's just too frothy for my taste.
And I mean, he won Iowa last election.
He won 10 states.
I know.
So,
think about that.
So how do you guys want to discuss this? Do we want to go from the JV to the major debate? Do we want to just talk about impressions? Do we want to go candidate by candidate? How would you guys like to handle this?
Do we have
this?
Time for 17 candidates
that's
plus some Hillary bashing?
That's part of the problem.
You can throw out Pataki. You can throw out, I didn't even know one of the people, like Lundy?
Gilmore?
Or
Jim Gilmore?
Gilmore?
I've met that guy, actually.
Have you really?
I have
what
interviewed.
What state is he from?
He's, I think, Illinois.
No, he was the governor of Virginia.
Okay, I've never met that
Oh,
guy
Virginia.
Yeah, during 9/11. If you listened, I watched the JV debate, and yeah, he was very quick to point out that he was the governor of Virginia.
I am just baffled that, I mean, who's advising these people? Like, do they just have yes men? They're like, you need to save America. And like, they could go to any place in Indiana, the majority of the people in the JV debate besides Santorum, and they wouldn't get noticed. It'd be like Hillary at that Qdoba.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Lindsey Graham trying to order some sort of a burrito at the Greenfield Qdoba.
Oh, they would be like, no, Mass Ave is that way.
So the major takeaway from the JV debate that I've seen is that Carly Fiorina really stole the show and was highly noticed. So what do we know about Carly Fiorina? She is a former...
She started at AT&T, came up through their organization, and then became the CEO of HP. At HP, she had some struggles because at the time, the family members, like the founding family members at HP, still sat on the board. And when she came in and wanted to make some dramatic cultural changes, one of the eldest of the grandsons really shut her down and thwarted any of her attempts as CEO. Then she ran as a state or ran for Senate in California and failed as a Republican. And then, last year, she's really been active in Republican circles, but she just really, I don't know, she hasn't moved the needle to the point where she has name or like brand awareness within the party nationally. And yet she's really impressive every time she's on. I think she absolutely is competent. And I think the thing about her is she would handle being president really well. But she's not a politician, and she doesn't have the years of experience, you know.
Which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, and it does speak in that she ran a campaign, and I don't know if she ran a good campaign or not out in California, but she has run a major campaign in a major state, so that's going to help her because she will have experience in campaigning, and it always, it's just like Reagan running the Screen Actors Guild. That helped give him the experience he needed in politics to actually start running for governor of California, which gave him the experience to run for president and then ultimately be president. So there is, it is always an indicator as to what kind of leader a person will be, what kind of governor, what kind of executive branch person you will be, depending on how your campaign is run. So Mitch Daniels ran an amazing campaign and turned out to be a very efficient governor. Maybe not for libertarians policy-wise, he was always the greatest, but very efficient governor. Mike Pence really did not run a very good campaign and has been a really shitty governor.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, any kind of executive experience like running a company, being governor, running a major campaign is always going to, you know, that's why a John Kasich is going to be a better governor than a Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
Because they know how to handle bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton was a better president than Barack Obama because he knew how to manage bureaucracy because he had done it for years, and Barack Obama had never managed himself, let alone a campaign.
He doesn't
or
even
anything.
Manage his family. Yeah. Michelle runs the family.
Like, right.
It's you know, it's no job to jump into with no... if you've never led an organization where there's competing interests against you at every step, and knowing how to create consensus or like identify,
right,
you know, that you guys are on the same team on this issue, it's overwhelming.
Right.
I mean, the president, to me, I still think he's hated these last eight years.
Yep.
It's the ego thing of being president, but it's been torture because all the idealism has just been just driven out of that individual.
Yeah. So I think Fiorina, based on her campaign experience, her managerial experience, if she can get some buzz and she can get some money behind her, then she will start attracting top campaign talent, which will then help her get more buzz and more money. And then she has a chance at actually, you know, having her Herman Cain moment.
Yeah.
At the top. So
there's going to be a Herman Cain. I mean, there will be a Herman Cain and there will be a Newt that just surges and has no staff in place, but because they're doing so well in the debates, they jump up.
Do you feel, both of you feel, that these 17 candidates are more qualified than the last two cycles as far as the Republicans go? Because when I look at the field of experience, I mean, for libertarians, and this episode's going to make libertarians mad, but whatever, listen, we talk about policy all the time, we're going to talk about politics, and we're going to talk about Republican politics in this episode, just to kind of recap the debates, because we've had some requests for it. So we're going to be giving you pundit talk. We're not giving you policy talk. We're not endorsing candidates by saying Carly Fiorina or John Kasich have their future moment coming. That's prognostication. It's not an endorsement. So put on your thinking caps and don't write us nasty letters, because we won't read them anyways. Customer service is a goal of mine.
Yeah.
I think when I look at this field, because there's so many of them, partially, I am less convinced of the clown show aspect than I have been about the past two cycles. This last cycle with Herman Cain being a front runner and Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, and you know, they just weren't, to me, serious. I mean, that's why Mitt Romney made it through, and John McCain made it through, is because they just didn't get themselves in trouble, and they just were the ones that you could stomach. I feel like this cycle for Republicans, their base has a lot to choose from and a lot to be excited about. And, you know, if you're a Rand Paul guy, you might be able to stomach Ted Cruz. If you're a Rick Santorum guy, you might be able to stomach
Mike Huckabee.
If you're a Donald Trump guy, you may take a look at John Kasich or... I don't know what.
I mean, Kasich stands out. Jeb, I mean, it's Kasich and Jeb are the same base,
right?
And they are the exact same. They draw the same serious northeastern Republican backing, but Jeb's a Bush, so yeah. He has the network and the money.
So I feel like there is it's a deeper field for the Republicans. Oh, James Neese, you've been promoted. By the brutalist overlord James Neese. A certificate of achievement. This acknowledges that Greg Linz has successfully earned the title of Captain of Meme Third Class.
Ooh.
Signed, James Neese, brutalist overlord. He's so weird.
Does that come with like a silver sticker or
yeah,
something?
Like all libertarian positions, it's unpaid.
Yeah.
But you do have more responsibility.
Yeah,
now.
You have way more responsibility.
We're expecting two times the memes.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. And now you have to be available for all the complaints as well. And let me tell you what you're doing wrong and how I could do it better, but don't want to do it.
So do you guys feel that this field is stronger than the last two cycles?
The governors are great. I mean, something the Republicans have done in the last 10, 15 years is they've actually won a lot more state houses. So they've got governors that are coming off the bench that can actually say, hey, I've fixed a state. You know, Chris Christie in this last debate, he was basically told New Jersey is terrible. And, you know, you're 42nd in the nation. And
he answered that really well.
Yeah, his reply was, well, you should have seen it when I got it.
I think actually the Trump people, when he eventually fizzles out, will go to Christie. I think Christie might actually end up having his moment after watching that debate.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Bobby Jindal actually did fairly well in the first debate for as much attention as he could get. Kasich, you know, Kasich is a really strange animal where he's, you know, he's very moderate. But he also can go back to I was involved in writing the balanced budget that we passed with Clinton in the 90s. So he's got some of the old bipartisan nature that they actually kind of long for in Washington or pretend that they want. But he's also done this Medicare thing the expansion of Obamacare in Ohio, where he took the money that Pence and Bobby Jindal didn't. So it's an interesting mix for sure.
He's got chop. I mean, I like Kasich because he's interesting. Like, he's an extreme, you know, just an extremely smart guy. And even more so than that, oh, cheers.
Dinner bell.
even more so than that, I like his way that he defends it. The way he defended Medicaid expansion and taking the funds was he cited Matthew 25. And so he defends it with his right, you know, with Christianity and conservative Christianity. And I think that's a message that is going to be a home run, because it's extremely that's a legitimate defense in the GOP primary. Because anytime you've done anything not conservative at the governor level, it gets hung around, you know, it's like Romney Care, or, you know, it's all these different things you do when maybe you do something a little bit more statist than somebody else. And being able to cloak it in Matthew 25. That is just a home run. And then he's actually a smart politician and thinks about policy a lot, combined with being budget director under Clinton. And you talk about a guy that was fiscally conservative. He made Paul Ryan look moderate when he was in that chairmanship. And then he's just got all the chops. The guy can pick up the phone. Anything he needs done, he can do it. And he's so plugged in from all his years there. I think he would be a highly effective president.
I think that Kasich is my front runner. As far as not in who I would like to see, but as far as who I think will be the nominee, because Kasich has the experience in Congress. He was part of the 94 class, left Congress, became an early Fox News contributor. So he has the ability to craft a message, media experience, charismatic, funny. Again, you know, Matthew 25 as a defense for increasing entitlements. And, you know, when I heard his explanation of why he did it, he's like, Ohio needs to get it. We send all this money to Washington. Why wouldn't we get some back? I'd rather take care of people using the means that are allotted to us than to just have people suffer because of political expediency. And I thought he made an effective point on that. And so much of what that debate and what politics is today, especially for Republicans and libertarians, is how do you work within Leviathan to be an effective manager of bureaucracy and still keep principle? And I thought that he is effective at that. And he also has the experience as a governor in Ohio. I'm sure our Ohio listeners would say he's been a terrible governor, but the way that it is presented in the media is that he has been an effective governor. So I predict that if Kasich doesn't have any skeletons and he keeps his nose clean and just doesn't, you know, rise too soon, I think he has a real shot at being the eventual nominee against presumably Hillary Clinton.
He had a couple of good points as well in the debate, a couple other good moments when he had his opportunity to talk, where he hit home about criminal reform and actually spending money. If we're going to spend money, you know, as government, that it's done in not locking people up, but doing the same programs
exactly
Rupert
right.
and Mike Pence, and, you know, what we've seen in Indiana have talked about over the years.
It's the James Neese Rupert Bonham argument that if we're going to spend the money on locking these people up, and we're going to spend $50,000 a year in locking somebody up here in Indiana, let's get them help, because what we do is we warehouse drug users and then they just get more drugs, and they're never rehabilitated.
And they
then
become more hardened criminals.
And then they get more time stewing in it around a better class of criminals. They learn all kinds of criminal skills. They get out of prison. They can't get a job. And then so they turn back to selling drugs, and they become better at selling drugs. And then they go back to prison. And it's just like, you know, if we stop the madness and we start using those dollars to get people substance abuse help as opposed to warehousing them and making them better criminals, we'd probably be more effective. And I saw signs of that Rupert argument in what Kasich was saying yesterday, and that always fills me with a little hope that we'll do things a little bit smarter in this country.
The other big moment that I think Kasich had is, I think as a Republican, he probably hit on the gay marriage point as well as anybody could in a Republican debate that's going to be palatable to the general electorate, because he says, yeah, here's how I feel. The Supreme Court decided, but I love everybody, and I'm going to love everybody.
Right.
And that's the answer that I think that if the Republicans are ever going to get elected anything nationally, they have to just relent and go with that going forward. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he handled that like a pro. And I was checking Twitter to just kind of get the general consensus after the debate. And on Google, 1 hour following that debate, the most searched term in all of the U.S. was John Kasich.
Yeah.
And so that tells me that really, even Democrat, like moderates, and I think he's going to appeal to liberals just because he's smarter than Hillary Clinton and he knows more about policy when you get those two on a debate stage.
He could be a very Reagan-esque person.
Yeah.
I have thought from just knowing his background, I thought that guy could be just anytime anybody has had a cable news show and they have had that experience, it's like Mike Huckabee is less so than he was in 2008, because the first time I met Mike Huckabee, I'd never heard of him, and I saw him at a press conference and then give a speech to the Indiana Republicans at the Midwest Leadership Summit here in Indianapolis, and all the 2008 candidates except John McCain came through town, and that's when Fred Thompson was leading and was just abysmal at that thing. And then Mike Huckabee, I'd never heard of the guy, and he was a fair tax guy, and he was one of the most charismatic, articulate, personable guys you could ever meet. He walked in, shook the hand of every media member. I was the only one in the room he couldn't get to, and made a huge deal out of, I'm so sorry, I wish I could get over there. And it wasn't like feeding me bullshit. It was like literally like, hey, I don't want you to feel left out. Like,
I understand you're dear leader, and I'm quite sorry that I haven't been able to come over.
I can see so much promise in you, young man.
Yeah.
I want to kiss the ring, too.
He just was a genuinely nice guy and then gave a genuinely great speech, the best of that weekend. And I just could tell, like, that guy was about to pop. And he did. Like, a month later, he became the frontrunner in 08, and I think he won Iowa.
Iowa and West Virginia. Like,
yeah.
You know what's so funny, though, is that shows how, like, fractured the party is with the Christian conservative base. Someone's going to sweep the Iowa. It's so rare that like someone just takes all the states, you know, but the Southeast is going to still go. It's still wide open to me. Scott Walker, he didn't really, he didn't stand out in the debate, but Walker's leading in Iowa. And I'm wondering if Walker, though, can be that one guy that's mainstream enough and still the Christian conservative enough, he can get traction in everywhere but New Hampshire. Because I see if he wins Iowa, he will talk to the Christian right, and that gives you South Carolina and that southeastern corridor. Whereas Huckabee just isn't getting any traction. Santorum's gone.
Because those guys are old news. It's like, all right, we've got Rand, we've got Walker, we've got all these new names. We're not going to retread the same guys that ran and lost the last two cycles. Why?
Santorum did so well because he never quit last time. He just never went bankrupt. And it was down to like, well, I don't want to vote for Romney, so I guess I have to
the
vote
war
for
of
Santorum.
Attrition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? He gives a compelling... I don't like his positions on the fundamental Christian influence on his policies. But I tell you what, he at least, I think, is the real deal.
Oh, he believes everything.
Yeah. And he's not just a scumbag. Like, because I feel like sometimes Huckabee wasn't this fundamentally conservative last time.
Yeah.
And now he's really pandering and I think it's ruined his brand a little bit by being willing to pander and bet everything on bet the whole farm for Iowa. this time around.
He came across as a big populist in this last one, this last time.
Yeah.
You know, he was, you know, if somebody's needed in the world, America's going to follow them there, and we're going to defend Americans wherever they're at.
Yeah, and his quote on the military was terrible.
1962 is the last, I think he had a comment about the B-52 bombers or whatever.
And its purpose is to break things. And
that's a Rush Limbaugh line. Yeah. And it's not totally inaccurate, but
no.
It's not necessarily the thing that you, it's not a sensitive point of view.
It sounds
doesn't, I don't know brutal. Where that gets you. I don't know where that gets you.
Yeah.
Maybe with the Republican, you know, with the Republican base, but how does that help you long term?
Exactly. And it doesn't sound very supportive of the troops. Like the way it's said and the way it's crafted. I mean, yes, that's what the military does, but it, you know, I like the Bush way of thinking about it. They're liberators.
Right.
They invade they're kind and benevolent.
It gives
liberators.
It gives us a sense that we aren't all contributing to the murder of innocent people.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Fundraiser, support our troops.
It's a long time ago, okay?
Yeah, but those dollars are still at work, and it's your fault.
That's right.
I gave hope to soldiers across the sea and families here at home. I regret nothing, okay? My regrets in life are when I've done things out of anger and hatred, like this podcast, but never anything that I've done out of love. I will tell you... Yeah, Mike Huckabee, never going to get traction. Rick Santorum, never going to get traction. They may lead in polls. They're not, you know, because part of it is Ben Carson is in the race, and the Tea Party people that came out for those two last time are all about Ben Carson for whatever reason.
Did you see his tax strategy?
It's tithing. I about fell out of my frickin' chair. Like,
for a voluntarist, that's beautiful.
Well, if it's optional tithing, sure. You know,
it's like
you can give 10% if you want to.
I was corrected on Facebook. It's like 15%. The biblical tithe is 10, but I think in the debate he kind of talked about 10%. So he may be unclear on his own policies.
999. Well, that's the last guy.
Yeah, it just doesn't like it's. It's not sound policy. You need to do some study. You need to have some like intellectual backing from American Enterprise Institute. You know, it's like we can sit here and say, as anarchists and voluntarists and minarchists, we want no taxes, but you have to have a plan to get there. And so it's just as fantastical to say, like, I'm going to do it based on tithes. And, you know, he is just, he's not an intellectual lightweight. The man is no doubt brilliant and gifted. He's just in over his head. And
everyone says that about doctors. And I feel like, look how expensive healthcare is. Like, they go to medical school, they check all of the above, or like that's the answer to every question on the test. And so then they become doctors and they just issue all the tests and it tells you the answer. I'm not convinced that medical doctors are that smart.
I refuse to go.
I don't know. I haven't seen one in years.
I refuse to go to the doctor. No, I will say that you can be a brilliant neurosurgeon, but that doesn't make you a brilliant politician.
It doesn't mean because you have expertise in one area that just carries over. Like Ben Carson, I hear so many people like say, oh well, yeah, I liked that Ben Carson too, and I feel like it's like, oh yeah, I have a black best friend. Like I have heard that so much about Ben Carson. It's like, who did you like? Well, I like this, oh yeah, and Ben Carson.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Well, I really think there should be camps for Ben Carson people, because it's usually older Republican voters who have screwed everything up beyond repair, and they love Ben Carson because he's gonna fix it.
Yeah.
He's been on their TV for so long, they just feel comfortable.
You keep voting in the problem people, and you want Ben Carson. So if you have a Ben Carson bumper sticker, just know that Chris Spangle wants to put you in a camp. And I'm sure that you have loving relatives. Your grandmother is beautiful and wonderful and cares for you deeply, but she's got to go away.
Yep.
At least until after the primaries.
I know.
Ben Carson is there so that the old wooden ship of diversity is completely filled. They had Alan Keyes. They had...
Well, I mean, Herman Cain. I mean, for what he was, like, people joked about the 999 plan, and that was actually backed by, you know, academic research. But Herman was, you know, he fell victim to his cult of personality, and he ended up fulfilling all the worst things we wanted to, didn't want to believe about him. They ended up coming true. But Ben Carson's boring. Ben Carson he did well at the very end when he talked about, I'm the only one that's done something. You know, I've separated Siamese twins. And I was like, that's really great. You know, but none of that matters.
Biography doesn't matter. Look at John McCain.
You weren't even the department chair at Johns Hopkins. What does that say? Like, you
know,
he already
had that job. Now he wants the next one.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know. I think that's all fake support. It's not every Republican that says that. I mean, some people might really like, there might be like a medical doctor's little like group that actually supports Ben Carson based on thinking he'd be good president. But
no, it's hardcore Christian Glenn Beck conservative listeners who are Tea Partiers. Those are the people that I see supporting Ben Carson on Facebook. He's our only hope because he's a man of character. Well, I understand. Trust me. I am tired of inauthentic bullcrap politicians too, but a man of character doesn't mean that he's going to be an effective leader.
Bill Clinton was an effective leader and of the worst character.
Right. Right. I mean, in comparison to Barack Obama, who by all accounts seems to be like a really decent human being, a great family man, and while we may not like his policies, seems to be a man of character.
George Bush was a man of very high character and not a good president.
No, exactly. You know, so
give me the biggest scumbag on stage, and that's why I'm Trump. That's why I am a Trumpertarian.
Listen, Megyn Kelly was bleeding out of her whatever.
So he said that this morning?
He said that.
Yeah.
He was on Fox. On CNN.
He got disinvited from whatever the next forum is. They said, sir, you're no longer allowed to show up. The Red State Forum, I think it is, in Georgia. He's been disinvited.
Because that's big.
You know, she was just, I mean, she was so hate-filled and vitriolic towards me. She was just bleeding out of her eyes, and she was bleeding out of her nose, and she was bleeding out of her whatever. This is how he said it. And I was like,
You know, he got irritated by that, but there was a very different style by Fox in this debate. They looked at whatever irritating weakness was and picked at it, and they did that across the board to everybody.
I'll tell you, I tuned into, there was like a podcast from Glenn Beck that said, what does Glenn think of the debates? And so I listened to that, a little 16-minute clip, and he's saying that most of his listenership are really angry at Fox and thought that the debate was horrible and that Fox did a terrible job. And it just goes to show you that if Republicans cannot stand any kind of criticism, they will turn on their own who dares. That's why people are mad at Trump, because he was mean to Megyn Kelly and she's their friend and they watch her every night.
And she's a great American, because that's what they're told.
But then they're mad at Megyn Kelly because she picked on that sweet little Mike Huckabee, you know. And Glenn Beck made this point too, and I agree with him. I loved the style. I mean, it was one of the best debates I've ever seen, because instead of asking these bull crap policy, I mean, they really got to it and they said, here's your weakness, defend it. And when you do that, you really see a lot coming out of those people, and they're able to defend it. And I wouldn't think they had the questions in advance.
That's why they didn't go over on their answers either. They were trying to defend themselves and get out fast before you don't remember the fourth department you're going to shut down.
And it is so smart by Fox, because the point of these debates are not for us to really learn any policy points. It is designed by TV media to get the gotcha moment that they can replay for the next, until the next debate, until they can get the next gotcha moment. And I don't know that they got. Rand Paul got some buzz because he went after Trump. He went after people.
He went right out of the gate. I was shocked he decided to do that.
I'll tell you what, these debates are so insufferable because it's Scott Walker trying to scream his way in so he can bash Hillary Clinton, and you know they're all trying to get above the crowd to get that soundbite. I mean, it's all just designed for soundbites, so it's not necessarily anything that. I probably won't watch many more of them. I mean, there's just no point. I mean, I know what I'm doing, so it's...
People were tuned into this one. The ratings? Did you see the ratings?
Oh, my.
24 million people watched the primetime debate. 5 million watched the 5 o'clock.
Right.
Five million watched the JV debate.
That's amazing.
Which was the second highest rated Republican primary debate of all time.
And I don't have cable, so I didn't watch it. I watched it on YouTube.
Comparison, the last Daily Show was Thursday.
Yeah.
3 million viewers.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, thank God, because I hate Jon Stewart.
What do you think of Fox?
I liked the format. The issue I have is, I mean, it's like any debate. I love it that it wasn't just, give us your thoughts on education. Well, I think education's vital to the American people, and that's what makes a great, you know, so it wasn't that. I do think there is a very heavy bias. The thing that bugged me is Jeb got a lot of talk time, and Jeb is not an inspiring candidate. Jeb is not a charismatic guy. quite frankly, if he wasn't a Bush, he'd have been in the JV debate with that Gilmore, because he did okay. Right. He defended. He started off slow. He fumbled and stumbled still over the Iraq thing. And if that doesn't get locked down and he doesn't figure out an answer for Iraq, he's done.
Yeah, because
John Kasich will eat him for, you know, lunch.
Yeah,
especially because he's going to be palatable to the, you know, the Northeastern elitist.
The same base. Yeah.
Yeah. But.
See, you say that, but I feel like Kasich has a chance to really get the Midwest, and he has broad appeal to me.
He does. I just know that, like, John Kasich is one. He's like Haley Barbour. His pockets are greased with the Republican network from being around it for years.
I see. Yeah, like a Jeb Bush money person is not going to send their donations to an untested person. Like,
they're not giving them to Trump. They're not giving them to Rand, Scott Walker.
Right.
They're the Coates may be backing Walker, but that's it.
Right, but they're going to give the Sheldon Adelsons of the world are going to give their funding.
He's tried and tested.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I see what you're saying.
And, like, I just see Jeb, he's bleeding away. Yeah. In the polls, and he's not even in Iowa because his strategy is he's not going to go there. He's only going to go to New Hampshire. Well, Trump's killing everyone in New Hampshire, and it's not close. You know, Trump is dominating, and then Rand's two, and then he's three.
I don't know how, from a logistical standpoint, how Jeb even tries to write, how he functions as a candidate when he has to defend No Child Left Behind. His brother's No Child Left Behind.
Common Core.
But then the Common Core, and, you know, he's saying that everything should be done at the state level, yet it is his brother that was No Child Left Behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he has his own mannerisms that look exactly like his brother when he's up there, too. And, you know, the caricatures that we've all seen over the last 15 years of that stuff.
But he's not even charismatic like his brother.
No.
And yeah, Jeb's his dad. I mean, Jeb's... Right. And you know, like, it's like, I was joking with you. I was like, if H.W. Bush had never been Ronald Reagan's vice president, he'd have been a CIA director, and that'd have been all we'd ever heard about him in history.
He barely made it through 88.
Yeah. I mean, he is not a politician. And Jeb gets a lot of... Like, everyone says he's really smart, and he's a deep thinker, and all these things, like... George W. was the academic. Jeb right. got his degree in Latin studies, and he got it in 2 years at UT Austin, and that's where he met his wife while he was down there.
Yeah, there's the joke.
But he got his wife at auction.
He got a Mr. degree.
Yeah, but, like, so he, you know, he did it quickly, but, like, you know, W. has, you know, has the Harvard MBA and went to Yale undergrad, and, you know, except for he had a higher GPA than John Kerry as a Yale undergrad.
He delivered Florida for his brother, and now it's his turn, okay? I know. So get out of the way.
But, like, Jeb had always been the presumptive Bush. Right. I don't see it at all. I don't see... he, one time in an interview in Rolling Stone, put him on the cover as, like, maybe the future Republican Party. He read the book The Singularity.
Right.
And that is a book of, like, you know, in the intelligentsia, that's the cool book to read when, you know... The human capacity and, you know, automation and robotics surpass right. regular human capability, kind of like the Matrix being plugged in. And it's like, okay, he read that. That doesn't mean, you know, he knows the inner workings of every policy position ever.
Well, but he's always when they've always been compared, and Bush was W was always the politics guy. He was always involved in the campaigns of his father, where Jeb was always involved in policy groups and policy wonk stuff. The problem is that for Jeb is that he doesn't have a Rove. And that I can see at all.
Well, he's not even, you know, he doesn't, his campaign structure, he has minimal, like, 2-3-4 staff for his actual campaign. He's letting his super PAC run his campaign.
Right. He has no control over his own campaign.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is a huge risk. Huge risk. And really odd, but.
No one's ever done it before. I mean, maybe that's the only reason he's in it.
It's a new, you know, this new Citizens United stuff, it's. Totally different. And nobody, I don't think anybody will take the federal dollars now, that little box you check on your income taxes.
No way.
Nobody can afford to do that.
No.
Right?
Only John McCain would do that.
I don't see Jeb really making it very far. I don't get it. I think it's only because there's money. I think that money will flee, because money always flees in politics. You don't want to back a loser. That's like rule number one of politics. You don't back a loser. And you don't want to... You know, you can find, oh, well, he's the Swift Boat guy. Like, there's pride in being part of a successful takedown or building up. And so I think if, you know, it becomes clear that all those favors called in by HW and W, listen, I love you guys, but Kasich is really rising up in the polls, I think that money will flee.
And Jeb is never going to have a moment in the debate where you say, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not... He doesn't have that gear.
Mm-mm.
He, like, the best, and Romney actually, I mean, quite frankly, Mitt Romney became a great debater.
Right.
And he really learned how to stand out. But Jeb just doesn't, I don't see it. Unless he would have had like a huge lead and there was no Donald in the race. Because Donald Trump is killing people. And he's
sucking
dominating
the life out of everybody.
He owns the news. Like Rush Limbaugh used to joke that he owns the news. Donald Trump owns the news.
He apparently owns all the politicians, too. I mean,
yeah.
I'll tell you what. Trump is not going to last, but...
You say that.
I don't think he's going to last. I think he's going to get... He will have forever damaged his brand, and the media has picked up on the women thing, and now even Fox News is starting to... You know, he picked a fight with the one news outlet that might be his buddy.
I'll tell you, the Republican base could turn on Fox. They literally could turn on Fox.
It was
they're
really
that angry right now.
Where are they going to go? They're going
to
go to Al Jazeera.
They don't care. They will literally
CNN.
Go to like they'll go to Pat Robertson.
They'll go to the Blaze.
Wow, the Blaze makes sense. Is Pat Robertson still have a pulse? He's still going.
He might be.
Oh, yeah, he's out there riding horses, getting crazy with his 90-year-old wife. Whatever.
He's in 480i definition.
I think it occurred to me like what this really embodies with the Donald Trump rise, and I think it's Republicans have always been the outsiders, the uncool, the whatever. Now all of a sudden, a cool kid wants to be a part of their group, and so everyone's flocked to him. Like, oh, I want to sit with the Donald at lunch. I want to sit with the Donald at the lunch table. He's very cool, having no idea that he's actually a social pariah. But for the time being, because he gets on the news and he gets you noticed, they're riding this horse.
I think that it is. I think I see a deeply insecure man who is unafraid. He's this weird mix of authentic but also incredibly phony, and I think that authenticness is appealing to the base because he doesn't give a shit. He wants to watch the world burn. He is the candidate that modern politics deserves, totally. He stands up there and he goes after the media right to their face. He goes after the other candidates. He says, I bought you off, Rand. You're the most principled politician on the stage. How much money have I given you? Yeah, I've given all these people money. I've given every single one of these people on the stage money. I've paid off the Clintons because I need... This is how the system works.
She came to my wedding.
That was the best freaking lie. It was so funny. Like... You know what? What favors did you get from Hillary Clinton? I told her she had to come to my wedding,
and she had to do it because I gave her the money.
So here is a guy who is buying off all of his friends, and he is the type of guy that, like we talked about on the last podcast, there's a person running for a higher office here in Indiana who is the same, credible phony. Everybody, he donates money, raises money for people. Nobody likes him. Everybody talks crap about him behind his back, but they're afraid of him. And so they just let him go because nobody wants to say anything because he's ruthless. And Donald Trump is the kind of guy. You can imagine a guy who goes on Twitter or stands up in a Republican presidential debate and calls Rosie O'Donnell a fat cow. And has no qualms about it.
Well, Megyn Kelly was alleging that he said it about all women.
No,
and so he
multiple
clarified,
women.
It was only that one.
Yeah, Rose O'Donnell. Right, yeah. Which I actually thought, I was like, he handled that as good as you could. I mean, you can't handle that well, but he handled it as well as it could be handled. Because let's be honest, nobody likes Rosie.
It was a targeted drone.
Yeah,
even Rosie O'Donnell have to sit there and laugh at that.
Exactly.
Because it was so bizarre and funny and weird.
I thought he hit that out of the park. And then, Rand coming after him about, who's he going to support? And then he handled that well, and you're like, well, damn.
Which I thought was a very good strategic move by Rand's part, because I think there are a lot of Republicans out there who are looking at his policy stances and questioning his loyalty to the party, and will he run third party if he doesn't get the nomination? And I think he had to do what he just did, and I think that probably got him a few, as Rand continues to do, ingratiate himself into the Republican establishment and make them a little more comfortable with his brand of Republicanism.
There is no way he can go third party this time because he has to run for re-election as a Republican in Kentucky.
Right.
So, well, at some point he's going to have a little ballot access problem too.
I don't see Rand ever running third party.
Yeah.
I don't think he's not his dad. Like he is a constitutional conservative Republican, and he's a fiscal conservative in the way that he's not supportive or like pro drug. It's he's sick of paying for people to go to jail.
Yeah.
He's not the libertarian. Where it's live and let live. He's the libertarian of I'm so sick of paying for all XYZ. Let's just shut it down. I'm tired of it. But honestly, his campaign's a mess. Like it is absolute freaking mess. He just super PAC director just got indicted for paying $70,000 to an Iowa GOP rep. Jesse Benton, who we've talked about before on this show.
Shocking. It was a shocking turn of events for of us who have lived in the libertarian sphere for the last 5-10 years.
That guy, his rise was meteoric. I mean, for Jesse Benton to go from Rand Paul and Ron Paul to Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, I bet you anything, Mitch McConnell probably felt dirty, greasy, like he literally had paid for a prostitute when he let Jesse Benton run his reelection campaign.
Which Mike Huckabee will tell you they do not get to dodge the fair tax. Pimps, hookers, whores.
Did he clarify?
Oh, yeah. The whole line. Every time he can.
He was like, black people, the sluts, all those.
Did he look at Ben Carson when he said black people?
And then he looked at Donald Trump. Then he looked at Trump for the sluts.
Oh,
Trump's.
God.
Listen, I'm not a loser like these other people. They're just threatened because I bang hotter chicks.
I'll tell you, Melania is very attractive.
His daughter, beautiful.
Yeah, he said if he wasn't his daughter, he'd be dating her.
I know.
Yeah.
The future ex-Miss Chris Spangle.
She's next in line for dear.
Now, the Rand-Christie interaction, I thought that was beautiful politics. And it pains me that Christie handled it so well.
But handled well on both parts.
I know. It was just a beautiful, underhanded.
Logic versus emotion.
Strategic jab, yeah.
It was. It was just perfect. So, just beautiful. And then, but Christie, I remember hugging the victims of 9/11. 9/11 is the ultimate Trump card. Like you say, it doesn't matter what it is. Like your tax policy, I remember on 9/11, and it's like, well, there you go.
Hey, honey, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? I like McDonald's. No, I was thinking Italian. I was at 9/11.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's go to McDonald's.
Yeah. That's the only reason Pataki and Gilmore were in the race, because they had,
You were in high school in Plainfield, Indiana on 9/11. But 9/11.
But my all feels. Right.
I was deeply affected.
It was on my TV, and I paid more for gasoline the next day. Okay? I'm the victim as well.
Christie, to me, my brother texted me. He's always kind of my bellwether because he's so Republican, and he doesn't follow the news, but he's Republican. And so, and he doesn't have any policy points, but he's Republican. And I'll occasionally listen to Ronald Reagan speeches and listen to Rush Limbaugh, and he's a Republican. So he texted me that night and said that, wow, Chris Christie really was great. And my brother was a former Donald Trump supporter, but he's kind of like, I might give Christie a shot. And so it kind of solidified my view. When I watched the debate, I was like, that if you love the brash, loud authenticness and I don't give a shititude of Donald Trump, Chris Christie embodies that. And so I think you're going to see that base of Donald Trump people when Trump eventually just gets tired of all this sideshow, and they'll go to Christie. And I thought Christie was able to he reminded me a little of that Giuliani-esqueness and is unashamed of everything he's done and will fight and defend. And I think that's going to be attractive to a lot of people because again, it's an authenticness. He's not full of crap. Like you just feel like Marco Rubio and Scott Walker are just shoveling you crap.
They said Rubio won the debate, and that's the first time his name has come up.
Because he just didn't. He just floated.
He licks his lips a lot.
He answered everything correctly, and he just didn't do a whole lot. And
he's
so
the Manchurian
he
Republican,
right?
Like that is what. If he weren't Hispanic, he'd never be president.
Here's a guy who makes $200,000 as a senator.
Yeah, I think it's 176, or senator might be like 220.
How did a guy who had $100,000 in student loans pay that down in 2 years on a senator's salary? Anybody else wonder that?
Oh, he cashed out his 401k.
Where did he have the 401k from?
From his work prior to in the state house.
Okay. All right.
He had a 401k of $70,000, and like he's got serious financial problems. He just had to do a short sale on investment property in Tallahassee.
Okay.
And it was only a $100,000 flip, and they lost like $20,000 on it. I mean, the guy is bad with money, which makes you think, oh, great, let's put him in charge of the national.
Right. Well, he's dug his way out of it at least.
Oh, no, he's bleeding cash still.
Really?
Like, if he doesn't win, if he doesn't get the nomination, the rumor I heard is he's not running for re-election. He's going to go work in the private, he's going to be a K Street lobbyist.
Yeah.
Make a bunch of cash and then maybe do Fox or something like that because he is hurting. He had to cash in his 401k to even meet his obligations. And he's gotten in trouble for $500 haircuts on the RNC credit card. He retiled his house with the RNC credit card. Now, he's reimbursed it all, but it was like 6 months later when he could afford to.
When he had the cash flow.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you don't want The thing about Marco is you just don't want him in charge because he can't even get his own house in order.
Where do you get an RNC credit card? Because I may go back to
everyone does. Like, so if you're elected, you get a credit card from the National Committee. Like, if you're elected with party backing. And so, like, he has used it so many times and then had to do the reimbursements, like, 3-4 months later. But he's got 4 kids. His wife doesn't work, was a Miami Dolphins cheerleader. Mm-hmm. He worked in the State House. I mean, he was a private attorney for a little while, but... And he hasn't made much.
Right.
And yet he's living the high life on the Miami lifestyle, the $500 haircut. You know, then he if he has a home in Florida and a home in D.C.
That's a lot.
Heck, yeah. And when you have all the student load and burden that he had as well, I mean, it's a great story. And he had that great story about living paycheck to paycheck, you know, going up against Hillary.
I have a friend who's in Congress at the moment and similar background to Marco Rubio, but has more work experience. He sleeps on his couch in the congressional office because he can't afford a home in D.C. So how's this guy doing it?
Exactly.
You know, because he's not making much more.
Mm-mm.
And he's not in a position to get paid for speeches yet.
No, and I mean, Rubio, that's the thing is, can you get paid for speeches while you hold office?
I would think so. Hillary Clinton did it as Secretary of State, didn't she?
No, she left office.
Maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah. And so, like, you, and except for book sales, that's the one thing you can do. And that's why I figured Marco would plug his book more because he's got a new book out. But he doesn't stand out to me. Marco, I don't doubt his authenticity. He's such a checkbox guy. Like, you know,
he's a VP candidate.
Yeah. And I think Kasich Rubio is the only winning ticket, or Kasich Jeb, if you could ever get Jeb to take number two. If the Republicans are going to stick to their normal playbook, that's the only option on the table.
Kasich, Rubio, Ohio, Florida, Hispanic, you know, a couple of conservatives. The base would go for it. Ohio and Florida would be in serious play if not won. And that's the only way that they win.
They've never won without Ohio.
Yeah, they've got to win both.
I think Walker has got an opportunity as well. I think, you know, Walker sees himself as a Mitch Daniels Republican. That's he went out and visited him, and they've become buddies. And
I feel like Scott Walker needs a mustache. He looks like the kind of guy who needs a mustache. Look at next time you see Scott Walker talk, picture him with a mustache. It'll make you laugh.
Picture him on your motorcycle, on his motorcycle, and that'll make you laugh too.
I think he's got skeletons in his closet that are big.
Yeah, he's just there's something about him that's off that I don't trust.
That whole Marquette thing of being kicked out of school. Did he graduate? Did he not? Not releasing the records. I mean, although in 20 years, the guy went from a first-time elected state-level GOP rep to governor and running for president, which is, I mean, that's an awesome story to know that in 2 decades you can go from, I just got probably kicked out of college, work part-time for like $8 an hour at IBM, get elected to the state house, and now I'm running for president of the United States.
Yeah, I think he spent a bit of time as like the Milwaukee, like their head commissioner or whatnot, in there. You know,
that's what he did before he got elected, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was kind of like one of those. I mean, it's one of those political jobs, you know, like city liaison to the blah 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 blah. Or you know, not that public safety is a joke, but it's kind of a joke. I don't of everyone up on stage. I thought Christie looked for a guy that's polling so low. Christie looked like an elite level. Rand Paul, I thought, did as well as he could, but he got the least amount of coverage of anyone, the least amount of talking time, which is that's what happens when the Pauls are on Fox News. He got less talk time than everybody right. by about 20 seconds, right?
Yeah, he was just a touch under Walker.
Yeah.
Now, Paul did have a great line about ISIS driving $1 billion worth of Humvees or whatever. If we're basing it off sticker price, devalued, they're not worth $1 billion now.
No, but, you know, especially once they've driven them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what kind of detailing it's going to take to get a Humvee after ISIS happened.
But, I mean, yeah, and then I was afraid he was going to say that. What scared me about that line was he was going to say that, and then he was going to lead in, you know, say that Bush created ISIS, or say that, which is true, but you can't say when you're running for the Republican.
It's really
nomination.
Hard to do when they're going to give you 5 minutes.
I thought his answer was very skillful, very honest.
He's still got some condescending that drives me crazy. You know that he actually knows his policy positions. He's the only candidate on stage that has an actual tax plan that he's put out and laid out extensively, and he doesn't even get a tax question.
No.
I hope that since it's so fractured as this goes on and people drop out, his support's not going away.
No.
He's got exactly the same base all the time. So he should be fine to make it, you know, through to the third debate. And then as the third debate happens, though, I guess I was curious what you guys think. Kasich, I do think, makes it to the end.
Yeah.
Trump, I think, makes it to the end and then pulls out.
I think the final debate. I think Trump has two more months. Maybe,
really?
Maybe. Unless he starts self-financing, but even then...
He's self-financed since the beginning. He's not raising any money.
He has not raised any money.
It will just turn into... he doesn't care about the money aspect, but it will turn into the media starting to turn on him, and then the storyline will be like, why isn't Trump dropping out? Why isn't he... And then the media will get tired when that storyline stops getting ratings, and then they will just go to the other adults in the room.
The only thing, though, is the one thing he supports, which is, you know, he is very protectionist of labor and, mm-hmm. you know, illegal immigration. That... is, I mean, he was right when he said this wouldn't be being talked about if it wasn't for me.
Yep.
And although I don't support it, that is such an untouched strain of anger in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
That he could, I don't see the media hitting on him too hard because he's going to be so damn popular. I mean, he is leading the polls by a.
But 2-1. It's 20 to 10.
Yeah. And so, like, how can you drop out when you have it? You take all the rest of support for all the rest of the candidates, add them up, and you're still not to where the support is for him. He can't really drop out.
I just don't think he's serious.
No.
And
I don't think
that anytime you are not a serious candidate, you're just not going to last.
Do you think it's going to go Ross Perot where he drops out, then wishy-washy?
I could see him coming back at a later date and running third party, but he may not. I mean, why would he? He's going to, at some point, start looking at the bottom line of all this on his businesses and the brand equity that he is losing, and he is a shrewd, smart businessman, and he will start to look at the damage he is doing to himself and his reputation and his businesses, his bottom line, and the things that make him money, and he will say, okay, I got my point across, I'm done.
He'll have to find someone to carry the torch, and then he'll make someone kiss the ring and then pledge his support to that person.
Yeah.
There's a side of him that you just think he's going to be so damn stubborn that he won't quit.
That's true, yeah.
The hell they're going to force me out. Yeah.
What'll tell us, I think, is all of a sudden when he starts doing all these appearances, if these start being sprinkled in with bits of policy, of foreign policy, of actual knowledge of the infrastructure of the government, how things work, and like in plans instead of just anger.
You just have to negotiate more, Greg.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah, anyone can run for president and say those things. Like, education, you know,
right.
We got to keep the Mexicans out. You know, like these aren't.
he sounded like Zach Galifianakis when he was in the candidate.
Marty
it's
Huggins.
A mess. Yeah. It's a mess. Well,
and he's right, but. How do you fix it? And when we hear Trump with plans on how to fix it, is how we'll know whether or not he's running for president or if this is all PR.
He and Christie were the two that talked about business, and that was attractive to me. And I felt myself going, finally, a Republican talking about something other than abortion, you know. And so that's, I think, what appeals to my little brother who runs a small business. My dad and my brother are small business owners, and. You know, that's why Trump is appealing in the polls, because people like my brother and dad want to be Donald Trump. You know, there's always that hope that you can be Donald Trump. And Christie will, if he can talk business, and Carly Fiorina is going to be attractive for that reason as well, you've got to stick to the fiscal issues and stay away from... Everybody's trying to be so Christian conservative at this point.
And that's what's allowing so many people in the debate. Because the Christian conservative vote is so fractured and distributed against so many people, there's no one, you know, going behind Ted Cruz who you could say is a Christian conservative. And we haven't even talked about him.
No.
Yeah.
And I thought he was irrelevant.
He was.
He's. There's been no reason to talk about
him. For a Princeton debate champion to have a debate and... throw a goose egg. I don't remember anything he said. He has a super annoying demeanor still. That's got to be fixed.
I think that we have to be great. It's like, it's really like, it sounds like a duck quacking.
Well, he hired that same guy because, like, Barack Obama switched his speech pattern when he ran for president in 2008. And I heard Ted Cruz hired one of those guys. So he's working on developing like a memorable
cadence,
and you know, and then having like an anchor when he says something with, you know, like Clinton with the thumb,
which Rubio did.
Yeah, and I was like, you guys, this is like painting by numbers.
And even Glenn Beck, who is like a personal friend of Ted Cruz, helped him get elected.
Moved to Texas to be buddies
with Ted Cruz. Was like, his delivery is fucking awful. He didn't say that.
He was like,
that would be very un-Mormon.
Too many pauses. Ted, what are you doing? You failed us last night. So I thought that was kind of interesting. He was the only one on his staff. All the other Ted bootlickers were like, yeah, he did great, because they're all Ted supporters. But Beck was like, he really didn't do that well. Let's be honest.
He reminds you of like some sort of a terrible preacher. Like just like you remember Steve Martin's character when he was the 80s movie? He played this.
Leap of faith.
That's Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. The guy graduated first in his class at Princeton, first in his class Princeton Law, Princeton debate champion. And to dumb yourself, like, that's what I can't stand, when someone's smart and they become populist and stupid in order to appeal. Like, the Republican Party,
if you're going to be populist, be Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
Otherwise, be smart.
And, like, you know, Rand Paul can do populist well when he does. He's just got to get on TV more, which he needs to pick more fights call people out.
His pathway to victory is to get himself and his campaign under control. So that, because the article in Politico about his campaign was that he's a major part of the problem, which Hillary Clinton was a major part of her own downfall in 2008, and why she lost to Barack Obama was her own lack of discipline. You know, I remember here in town, she was supposed to come to a press conference in 2008, and she was like 45 minutes late because she took the motorcade through McDonald's at 16th and Meridian because she wanted a Big Mac, and it ended up delaying everything, and she was just, you know, it just, like, that lack of discipline really killed her, and maybe she's better this time, maybe she won't be, and you'll get President Joe Biden.
The
ladies will love that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that thing's real. Have you seen the money they raised?
No.
Draft Biden is raising money like crazy. The thing is, though, Bernie,
not serious.
He's going to have 20,000 people in Portland this weekend.
He's not serious. It's not going to happen.
That's a heck of a lot of people.
I know. I think it's something to underestimate him. The thing is, the DNC, it's fine. You know, Bernie draws viewers.
Right.
The second Bernie ever takes a lead or wins a primary state, the DNC is going to lose their minds, and they will actually tarnish him.
They will burn that thing down. He is 08 Ron Paul. And he will start a grassroots movement amongst young people, but he's never going to be president.
No, the he's not a Democrat.
Right.
He is not a member of the party, and so they will burn that thing down if he starts getting too close.
He's just living the Ron Paul script.
Mm-hmm.
Watch, and he'll run again in 4 years, and he'll have a little more organization, but he'll monetize all this just like Ron Paul has, and he'll become the socialist Ron Paul. And I'm not
socialist, air quotes.
I'm not disparaging Ron Paul, because obviously we're all sitting here because of Ron Paul. But he's Bernie Sanders. Do not worry. Do not fear, my children. Now,
libertarians for Bernie, you mean, doesn't have legs? Isn't going
to
stay?
No, we don't have much more time because we have to go start milking things. but who? So my view on Rand is that Rand has to get himself under control, get the campaign under control, not run out of cash, and because the second he starts firing people to save cash is the second that everybody stops giving him money.
His super PACs, though, are all well-funded.
If he can just kind of stay the course, stay the distance, and last a few rounds, then he'll be okay.
Who's dropping out first? If you look at the 17, who's going to run out?
Oh,
some of these guys just got in.
Huckabee won't last long. Santorum won't last long.
Yeah, so if you look at the JV part, I was shocked Rick Perry didn't do better in the JV debate, and there wasn't more support behind him.
Pataki won't last long.
Oh, no, him, Gilmore. I mean, everyone outside, in my opinion, everyone outside of Perry and Fiorina in the JV debate are out first.
Okay.
By the spring, yeah.
And Ben Carson. Ben Carson's gone.
Can't last. He'll lead the polls at some point, like Herman Cain, just because of the Tea Party people, but he's not serious.
And he's not even good on TV.
No.
Like, that's the thing, is Herman Cain was a rock star. I mean, that guy went on Leno and, like, charmed people, you know, and then, like, but
he had the balls to write a book that said, I see myself getting off the elevator as president of the United States.
I love it.
There's just a bit of arrogance to Carson that, yeah, that's weird.
He doesn't want to join the fray. And, yeah, like, you know, like, he wants to stay above, and that's part of Rand's problem, is he doesn't want to be he doesn't want to have to politic to be president of the United States. And when you have to, you know, get down and get dirty, it's not nearly as fun as when you can filibuster and be the principal champion.
The expose on Rand Paul's campaign, that was one of the probably the most grating things, the thing that struck you the most, was that he had some mega dollar donor and he wasn't going to leave a family vacation to go shake the hands and do it. And if you're not going to do that work, then you really do have to question whether or not you're committed enough to want the job
and
to
then
do
he,
the job.
Right. He skips the coke.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you do that? The guys who basically...
Libertarians!
They built the Koch brothers. You say what you want, libertarian, listening to my voice right now, but the Koch brothers are responsible for the Libertarian Party, the Cato Institute, the Institute for Justice.
They are leading the charge on criminal justice reform.
Freedom for Education, Students for Liberty.
Y'all.
In a roundabout way. They are... The libertarian, every organization that feeds you spiritually, Reason Magazine, they funded it. They started it. They may not now, but they started it with their money. And for Rand Paul to not show up to the meeting is astounding. Astounding.
The only thing I can think is, like, I see he's going to make it because he's just got a different base than everybody. Like, he'll have enough support to make it to the last debate. And then the question is, if it's, let's say it's Kasich. Let's say it's the Donald or it's not the Donald. I mean, if
your opinion is your opinion.
I just think Donald will be in until the very last minute, and then, you know, the RNC will freak out. And then he'll pull out and they'll reach some mutual agreement. But so it's Kasich, it's Walker, it's Rubio, for better or for worse, and then it's Rand. And I think if you look at something like that and you say, well, who is the Christian conservative that's up on stage, Rand's done the most catering to him.
Yeah.
The Planned Parenthood thing, I think, in a funny way, he could be the most Christian conservative candidate standing up there of who's left remaining, and that really helps him turn into a big voting block.
He's done enough wishy-washy flip-flopping. And
that everybody's confused, and they think they might like him a little.
Right.
Well, so the Planned Parenthood thing's huge for him.
He's like a Rorschach test. You see in him what you like the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is... a big reason why I think there's a trust factor with Rand, because amongst every major voting base, including libertarians, there's just that trust factor where he's too much of a Rorschach test. Do I believe him or not? I don't know. I can't really tell. So,
and then he goes, like, I would have never thought he would be as libertarian with the little time he had as he was during the debate.
Well, the Fourth Amendment stuff was great.
It was beautiful.
That's every libertarian.
And you're like,
is just
this is better than Ron. And then you're like, oh God, he wants to institute, you know, prayer at school. And you're like, damn, where'd that come from? But you know, it's he. You know, he's the same guy. He's always been that line. He doesn't want his religion or his gun registered with the government. Is kind of that perfect mix. You know, where you can't say he's not a Christian conservative and you can't say he's a libertarian. He's sort of in the middle somewhere, and it fits both.
I really think, you know, Kasich just barely slipped onto that stage and he passed Rick Perry to get on. But he's a big government Republican, and the media likes him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to like him.
Because he's smart and doesn't pretend to be stupid.
Yep. And I think that's going to push him forward a lot further than people realize. You know, you know, he got in late. He was probably the 14th Republican to get in the race, or 15th or whatever, but it has come on quick, and I really think he's going to have a strong opportunity.
Here's the question: are there any out there that have not entered yet that might?
Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I was trying to think about that. I thought, is there anyone we're not even thinking about that could jump in?
No.
I don't think there's the money's out there. You'd hear the rumors or there's really not. Unless there's some other celebrity candidate or somebody that wants to self-fund, I really don't think there's somebody else.
They're the only one who could ever make a splash and get real serious juice behind them is Mitch Daniels.
Right.
Mitch, yeah.
Yeah.
And he won't do it.
And we're saying that because we're in Indiana, but the listener in California doesn't know who Mitch Daniels is.
Mm-mm.
But I could tell you that Daniels would... shut up. Go at you. I will tell you...
Oh, are you an Indiana A&M fan?
All right, final predictions, final thoughts. Let's go around the table. Anything that you missed, let's wrap up. Jeremiah, you're first.
I just want to thank Greg Lenz for having me on his podcast. I've known Chris Spangle for about 5 years, and Greg and I met a week ago, and then here I am on his podcast.
So our mutual hatred have bonded us together quite quickly.
I'm very happy to finally have this opportunity to buy my influence.
You know, when you change your life, When you change your life, you start to realize how many people truly love you and truly hate you.
So he still hasn't taken you to Giacomo's, huh?
Oh, I'm still waiting.
Okay.
Listen.
That's fine. No big
okay.
deal. Okay. Somebody has to pay for lunch today.
Captain Interruptus. Well, you better bring cash because you're paying for your own lunch. Captain Interruptus over here loves to just show up and bully me into hanging out with him. And he calls me one day. He's like, you and I are going to Giacomo's. Put on your pants. Which... immediately,
which is better for everybody.
Which immediately irritates me because A, I don't like putting on pants, and B, I don't know if I'm spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like when other people are spontaneous on me. Okay, and
you're the spontaneator,
right? I like to spontaneator, yeah. Not spontaneity.
Most of the time, when Spangle and I are hanging out, it's a hostage situation.
It's a hostage situation every time. like yesterday, I'm going to the state fair tomorrow. Are you? And I'm like, well, funny you should ask. I am. So you may come with me. And he's like, I want to go to this pizza place. I'll be by your place in 20 minutes to pick you up. And I said, okay, but you have to know something. I have $7 because tomorrow is payday, and I can't buy my own. I've got $7. That's it. And
did you ask for a private subsidy, if you will?
He thought it was a joke. Shows up, we're driving to Giacomo's. I go, I just want to be real clear before we leave my house. I have $7.
We can't go to the Giacomo's that's far because I only have $7 and we can't pay for the gas to get
back. And so we go to Giacomo's. Bill comes, I hand him my $7, and he is horrified. He is pissed.
I can't believe I took his last $7. I mean, I did it, but I can't believe that it really happened.
You didn't want to.
And let it, like, I'm the rude one. I made it known, tomorrow is payday, I've got $7.
Oh, no, that's not rude. It's there's been no reciprocation.
I haven't seen him.
You pay it forward.
He hasn't hostage.
He's been dodging me.
He hasn't been taking.
Yeah, he didn't. You know, he didn't show up for Cards Against Humanity.
We had this Cards Against Humanity thing.
I was in bed. I've been diligent.
I heard differently.
We heard some stories.
Yeah, we heard differently. From Aria Torres.
Huh?
The night that we were supposed to play Cards Against Humanity, there was a young female that was over and, oh yeah.
No.
That is,
no. Nobody has been over. I am off the market. I'm not dating for 6 months. Aria is lying through her
Puerto Rican teeth.
Which is an American.
She is
snapping chicken head.
She is still guilty. She is still mad at me because I shared her bucket list item with you. And then we shared it with everybody who listens.
We didn't share it with everybody who listens.
Nobody knows what it is.
Mm-mm.
No, I was at home in bed asleep. 100%.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
I want to know what this is because I don't even know. I have an idea of what it might be, but I don't know.
It's the most likely culprit.
Of the roster?
Mm-hmm.
No. That wasn't that night.
Oh, that's what she told. That's what she told me.
No,
is why you weren't there.
She's lying. She's lying.
Oh, just like Puerto Rico is going to pay their bills.
Well, I mean, if you
you're going to trust a woman, she's got money.
She's bleeding out of wherever.
No, I have been really diligent. I crawl into bed like at 6:30 most nights. It's really pathetic, but it has been great because I'm
rested.
Rested.
You look so young.
While going through some difficult emotional work, I'm in the best moods that I'm like the mountaintops are so much higher than when I got 5 hours of sleep. It's great. The sleep thing, really, you should do it. You should try it. It's great.
And you know what? The contacts aren't in.
I
came over here fully expecting the contacts.
We should put those in.
I was gonna put because I
live
got
contacts, to tape.
But I was gonna put the contacts in and wear them to the fair. But then I started getting nervous about them falling out and losing a contact.
They're not gonna fall out.
And then, I rubbed my eye because they were
irritating.
We'll
push them in real good.
The other thing is that they were irritating my eyes really badly, and I had to take them out the other night because I was not comfortable. So I'm gonna put them in tomorrow and wear.
Have they
them
only
tomorrow.
Been in once?
They've only been in once.
No way.
It took me 4 days. I'm hoping that I can finagle some free LASIK surgery out of work, but we'll see. So
it's getting cheap.
I hope so.
There's a guy on the south side of town that'll do it just for a trip to Giacomo's Pizza.
Yeah.
And a
personal plug, if you want to become an Uber driver, let me know and I'll hook you up with a code so I can get $500 out of you people. So after you start driving, I get $150 and you get $100, I think.
Are you an Uber driver?
I am an Uber driver.
Are you properly regulated?
I have not taken my first ride yet, but I've been an Uber driver. So
I'm going to hire you right now when we're going to go to the state fair.
Oh, please. Can you do that?
I don't know.
I need to take my first drive.
That'd be
drive,
an expensive Uber drive.
I don't know. Can we negotiate? Or are there regulations?
No, there's no... No, it's I have no control over it. So I was going to take
Make
my first...
Make him get the door for you. and provide refreshments.
Do you have a hat to wear?
Yeah.
I have a Donald Trump hat. Yeah. All right, people. Thank you. Oh, Greg, your final thoughts.
No, final thoughts. I expect Fiorina to jump up. I expect... I don't know. Rick Perry's got a limited time frame, so maybe, maybe not. He could be out soon as well with Santorum and the rest of the JV squad. And that's about it. I look forward to more Donald. I, for one, enjoy it. I love how he handles people. I am not going to support Donald, but I want him in the race as long as possible. Yep. I'd love to see Donald versus Hillary on national television. It would be the greatest debate in history.
Oh, because you know he'd bring up all kind of petty shit?
Oh, yeah.
And that's why people don't go after him, because, you know, Hillary, let's talk about your character. You came over to my house, and you didn't put the glass in the sink. You are a loser.
Or if she came after the Donald, he'd be like, that's a beautiful blue dress you have on, Hillary.
He totally would. He's just like the pettiest person.
He's the greatest troll. Somebody, I forget who wrote the article, they said it is Donald Trump's the greatest troll in American history, and he is.
He is such a great troll.
And it has been wonderful to watch. It is what politics deserves. It is what the Republican Party deserves. Because they all of a sudden think they have a cool kid on their team, and they want to be, you know, they want to be nationally relevant and no longer just the idiots of the Southeast. And they're backing a guy that he's the Joker.
He is the Joker. He really is. That meme that you made of him. Check out our Facebook page for the Donald meme that Greg did of him as the Joker. It's flawless.
It's what he is, and they think that, oh, this is we're gonna give them Donald Trump. Like, that's what you think, Republican Party. And the next thing you know, you're gonna be gone. And it's gonna be a new party if you actually elect him.
All right, kids. Love you very much. My final prediction for the nomination is Kasich Rubio. That's what I think is gonna happen. So take it to the bank, go to Vegas, make a lot of money, and then PayPal, chrisspangle@gmail.com. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here in We Are Libertarians. We love you. And this has been an okay episode.
Jeremiah, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Let's not go too far. All right. But as always, we promise
to do better next time.